Coming, he seated himself on the left side of Kokoi Laftiyo and before anyone else, he lit his pipe of tobacco and started smoking. Having taken four puffs of smoke out of his pipe, he passed it on to the rest of the old men. The pipe went around and was finished up, and then the chief spoke and said, "My dear fellow men, I wondered why I was called at this time of the night, but I see that you have someone with you."
"Yes," said one of the old men, "this ghost has been coming for the last three nights, and this being his fourth night he is caught. He has been going up to your house to the top floor. Therefore, perhaps you might explain to us the meaning of all this. Though we know that we have done wrong against you, we are wondering now if this might not mean more than just to stop this dancing, and worry is upon us now."
"Of all this I do not know," said the chief, "and also the meaning of it I cannot explain. So without any further questions, take the masks off the man that we may see who he is."
Kokoi Laftiyo was asked to take the masks off, and as he came to the piece of fat meat, the chief said to put it aside, as it is food that the men in the kiva may cook and eat. As the last mask was taken off, they saw that he was the chief's nephew, Siwi Istiwa, his only nephew, and alas, he hung his head and wept.
"Being your own nephew," said the kiva chief, "Kiva Mungwai, take him and do what you want with him."
"No," said the chief, "him I deliver unto you."
85. Said the kiva chief, "You being our chief, we cannot do otherwise from your wishes, so we demand your advice."
"If you do," said the chief, "I advise you to bury him alive in the plaza in front of the shrine, with all his masks, before the day comes. But be sure and make a good job of it, that he may not escape."
At this command, Kokoi Laftiyo went out and dug a hole deep enough that Siwi Istiwa's head would be covered underground when he was sitting down. When he had done this, he went back to the kiva and brought Siwi Istiwa out to the plaza and buried him, but before he had him all covered up, Siwi Istiwa asked him to come there for four mornings and to take a look for signs of the approaching disaster. That night the whole town was weary, and the old men and women of good mind were stricken with fear. The next morning Kokoi Laftiyo went to look at the grave. And behold, there was Siwi Istiwa's hand sticking up out of the grave with four fingers open, which meant that something would happen in 4 days. The second morning he went again and saw that there were three fingers up and one finger down or closed. Now every morning one more finger would be closed down, until on the fourth morning all the fingers had been closed and his whole hand had disappeared under the ground. The day was gloomy. Clouds were gathering in the skies. Overhead and around the grave the earth was all wet and boggy. Toward noon it began to rain, coming down heavier and heavier, and then out of the grave a great water serpent of enormous size appeared and stood swaying back and forth, and also, at every corner of the plaza others appeared, but they were not quite of the size of the one at the shrine, who had come up out of the grave. Now water came shooting up out of the corners of the plaza where these serpents stood swaying, and soon there was water everywhere. The rain kept up, and the waters were raising higher and higher. Now the people began to move to the higher ground, taking what they could in the way of food and bedding, and there was much suffering and fear, and all this continued for 4 days. The only thing they could do was to look at their village standing in the midst of the water, where the great serpent was still swaying back and forth. Of course, the people were in great trouble and hated to leave their homes, but still this serpent was so fearful, and they wondered if it ever would go away. With weary thoughts of sadness, the men set to work making their prayer offerings of many paos, and when this was done the chief asked of the people who would be willing to sacrifice their children, because they must make all this offering to the great serpent and ask him to make peace.
Now who would part with beloved children?
86.
There was a great hesitation among the people, but being the request of the chief, a boy and a girl of 6 years of age were chosen who were, of course, of clean hearts and innocent. These two were given a tray of peos and told to walk out into the water toward the great serpent while the people watched with sadness and tears in their eyes. When they had reached this monster, he sprang up and coiled himself around the two children and sank with them into the water, which was of course a very terrible sight to the people watching from the hills. Now everybody was very much discouraged, and though they hated to leave their homes and property, they finally gave up all hope and decided to leave the country, but before starting they called a council to select their new chief or leader, because at this time the chief considered himself guilty of the disaster and no longer worthy to lead his people, and the people too felt the same way. But because of the wrong they had done, no one dared to say anything. So finally, the chief himself asked the boy, Kokoilaftiyo, to be the chief, and as he had been just an outcast, but had done a brave act, he was now looked upon as more than just a human being, on account of his wise spider grandmother. I pray you, said Kokoilaftiyo, I am not worthy to lead you. I am only a Kokolabi, fire poker, and do not consider myself good enough to take your authority, to be your chief and leader. It is not who you are, or what you are that I am considering. It is because of your innocence and the simplicity of your heart that I wish you to be our chief from now on. Well, said Kokoilaftiyo, will you and the people ever forsake me? No, said the chief, your wishes and footsteps will be our path, and herewith my tip and I you shall lead our people. I shall not take yours, said Kokoilaftiyo, I and my grandmother have our own, in which we believe and trust, and it is without stains of evil. Therefore, we shall take no other in its place. So you shall keep yours. Your kind request and offer of your highness and royalty unto us, we shall not accept, because we will always be looked upon as who we are and what we are, and always will be considered as such and no other but that. Why not ask your brother, Tawahongva? I think it is best that your clan should keep this royalty and continue as our chiefs and leaders. As it is today, on this very day we all feel guilty and not worthy to be your children, people, so it is for you and your clan to consider whether you will have mercy and forgive us. We are willing to follow you again. 87. Therefore, I, Kokoilaftiyo, demand for the people that this man, Tawahongva, your brother, be our chief and leader from this day on, as we feel that it is not right for any other clan to take the royalty away from your clan. Very well, said Tawaiistawa, I thank you for your great and earnest consideration for my clan, and so your demand for Tawahongva, my brother, to be our chief, is fulfilled. After these last words, Tawaiistawa picked up his tipanai, and handing it to his brother, Tawahongva, declared him chief and leader of the people. When this was done, the people were somewhat relieved of their weariness. Tawahongva set to work and made his peos or prayer plumes. With these and his sacred cornmeal, he drew his line or path over which the people were to journey toward the northeastward. Now, with all this worry and grief, two parents had forgotten their children, a brother and sister. These two little children had been sleeping and wakened up while the water was still high. They cried for their mother and father, and not only that, they were hungry too. So they got up and searched about for something to eat, and finally they found some piki which they ate. By this time the water had gone down a good deal, so the two children came down off their house and went around into the plaza, and alas, there they saw the great serpent swaying back and forth, and they were very much frightened. They stood still for a while,
looking at the monster in great fear, and then suddenly the serpent spoke to them, saying, "Come, be not afraid, I am not going to hurt you. It is sad to see that you two children have been left behind, so be not afraid and come." The serpent was being very sympathetic in asking the children to come, so finally they came up to him. "Please, don't be afraid of me. I am Siwi Istawa and I am not going to hurt you. I called you here to me to tell you where your parents and the rest of the people have gone. They left here many, many days ago, going toward the northeast, heading for a place called Situki, Flower Butte, and it is best for you to follow them. You cannot live here because very soon there will not be anything more to eat. If you ever catch up with your people, it is likely that you will not recognize your father and mother, so I will tell you their names. Your father's name is Koyongnu, and your mother's is Sakmunima, and they too will not recognize you and they will ask you your names, so young man, you are Tawahongva and you, his sister, you are Tawi Isnima, so above all, remember your parents' names and your own. Now, you go up over there to the northeast corner house of this plaza and climb the ladders to the very top floor. Up in there you will find some big bird sitting upon the shelves.